social or financial cost of carbon has become a widely used metric after its creation by economist William Nordhaus, who subsequently won a Nobel Prize in the 1990s. The measurement calculates the damage caused by a ton of carbon dioxide emissions, factored with the ability to adapt to the changing climate. Under Nordhaus's DICE model, the 2020 social cost of carbon is $37 a metric ton, but Daniel Bressler's addition of the mortality cost brings this figure up to $258 a ton. This change to the model would imply that an economically optimal policy would be to radically reduce carbon dioxide emissions to reach full decarbonization by 2050, a scenario that has also been backed by climate scientists as one that would avoid the worst ravages of global warming. Daniel Bressler of Columbia University's Earth Institute said, "Nordhaus came up with a fantastic model, but he didn't take in the latest literature on climate change's damage upon mortality. There's been an explosion of research on that topic in recent years." Colonel Wagner, a climate economist at New York University who was not involved in the research, said that the social cost of carbon is a crucial policy tool, but is also very abstract. He said, "That makes attempts to translate our climate impact into more relatable terms so important." He added, "The new research on the mortality cost shows the results are certainly dramatic." A series of heat waves have swept the globe over the past month, including the dramatic heat and wildfires in the U.S. Pacific Northwest, where temperature records in Seattle, Washington, and Portland, Oregon were shattered and caused hundreds of people to die from heat stroke and other related conditions. Scientists say the climate crisis, driven by carbon dioxide emissions, is making heat waves far more frequent and severe. Daniel Bressler of Columbia University's Earth Institute said that while this paper looked at the emissions caused by individual activity, the focus should instead be on policies that impact businesses and governments that influence carbon pollution on a societal scale. He said, "My view is that people shouldn't take their per-person mortality emissions too personally. Our emissions are very much a function of the technology and culture of the place that we live in."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. His
really in front of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Salaam alaikum, everyone who's listening out there. Here we are with another program of Islamic upbringing at IRIB English Radio. We talk about things that we might face as a parent and things that children might face as children they are, and things that we can do to sort those things out and provide them with the perfect and ideal upbringing that we're supposed to provide them with. Today we've got Brother Abdullah Al-Musawi with us here at the studio. Salaam alaikum, brother. Welcome to English Radio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. We've got many things that we face as parents, and one of the things that do worry parents is the protection of their children. When we say protection and protecting your child, what kind of protection, what exactly is it that we are protecting our children from?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأنجل فرجه. There are two types of protection that we have to be mindful of. One is the physical protection. Obviously, we need to make sure that they're physically safe.
Mm-hmm.
Their bodies are intact.
That's the first thing that comes to someone's mind when we say protection.
Yeah, which we as parents we seem to do that effortlessly, because you know everything is available to us. Alhamdulillah, we have no problem in that, at least in our countries. I mean, there are places where sadly a lot of parents cannot provide for their kids and they die of hunger, which they cannot provide that physical safety for them. That's one thing which is easy done, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of it. And then there's this mental
protection. Right.
And you know, when it comes to their, at least their beliefs and their ideologies and their fundamentals, so this is what we have to worry about the most. Because this is the most dangerous place.
That is very dangerous, and it's very subtle to be able to touch, you know.
Exactly. So it's easy for me to give protection to my child, make sure he's safe. But how do I make his ideology and his mind safe? Right? How do I make sure that my child, at least when he grows old, he will become, you know, his intellect is salim, is immaculate, as we say. And there's nothing wrong with him, and he has... the right teachings being given to him. So there are a few things as parents we need to be very aware of that are dangerous to us and dangerous to them if we don't teach our kids to be mindful of them from a young age. So the first thing I want to talk about is bad friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And bad friends, it's a big issue, right? If you know, like Amir Al-Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi says, tell me who your friends are and tell you who you are.
That's beautiful.
Right. So it always begins with the friend. So usually kids go to school around the age of 7 or 6, depending on the country that you're in. When you go to school, this is where you start to form your friendship with others. Or in your neighborhood, if you go play, even under the age of 5, you go play with kids who are your age. Also, you get to form friendships there. So these two places... where parents have to be very mindful of who they, who their kids try to create that mental relationship.
And interestingly enough, the first friends that a child ever has is his own parents. And the first step might as well be to fix ourselves in the first place to provide him with the first positive friend in his life.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this
we discussed that in the previous programs, how we influence their
exactly. That's basically that's how we should start. If the parents are not being good to the child, there's no point of talking about it.
We'll return after a very short break. Stay tuned, and we're going to be carrying about on the same topic.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Welcome back to Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about protection that a child needs and requires. We talked about physical and mental, and we're trying to elaborate when, where, how, and through what. So you were saying school years are very vital in this process.
Yeah, so schools, clubs, because, you know, like let's say if they got gym, for example.
Yeah, clubs, that's what you mean by clubs.
Well, obviously, we don't want them to go to the other clubs. That's the whole idea. Yeah. We're trying to prevent them from friends that will take them to the other clubs. And so from this young age, we have to highlight to them or teach them who are the good friends, who are the people they should hang around with. And as parents, it's our duty to find out who they are hanging with in the beginning with. So sometimes, like I said before the break, that if they create this bond between someone, it becomes very hard to break, right? So if a child, for example, it creates a bond with someone who's bad, and you as a parent, you can do, as we say, a tashkhis, right? You can identify that this person is bad. But the child can't do that tashkhis. Why?
Yeah.
Because his mind is shut down and he's just going with his emotions. I love this guy. He's my best friend. I don't care what he does. He can do whatever he wants. That's his choice.
The thing is, that child's himself, the other friend, might not be a bad person per se, but the thing is, we know that the upbringing that child has had might have a negative impact on my child.
Exactly. So, for example, the other child, for example, his parents did not care about him, and he's just doing whatever he wants, and they let him.
Yeah.
Now, if I let my kids go with him, obviously he's going to take from him and adopt his methods and adopt his ideology, and then, you know, he wants to become like the other kid. So that's what we're trying to avoid. So as parents, we need to do a bit of search before this connection happens, because once it happens, it becomes very, very, very hard to break. And especially because we're human beings, we usually, you know, once we get in touch with someone, and then we, like, on a spiritual level, on a soul level, that relationship is very hard to break. Unless we break it ourselves, it will not be broken. Like, and someone from the outside would have a hard time trying to break. So we have to make sure that it does not reach to that level when it comes to better friends. Because if it does, God forbid, forget about your child. Even the Quran says in a beautiful verse, Allah says, "Ya laytani lam attakhudh fulanan khalila." I wish I did not take this guy as a friend. Why? لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ. He made me forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we're trying to avoid. That if he becomes dhal, he ends up in hell. And even we have a hadith that Allah says, well, you as a father responsible, don't think that's only in his head. You know, he's the one who became dhal, he's the one who became misguided. Well, you are his father, you are his mother. What did you do to protect him?
Mentally and
physically. Yeah, why did you let him go with anyone? You know, you should have chosen his right friends for him.
Or
you should have put him in the right environment.
Provided him the utilities to decipher between the positive and the
negative.
Exactly.
So you need to educate him what good friends are or bad friends are. You need to look around his circle. And most parents are oblivious to who their kids hang around with or who they talk with. And today is even more dangerous, because today, for example, if you're on Facebook or you're on Instagram, you can have thousands of friends. And each one sends you memes and clips and videos.
And that's really, that's danger on, the danger level is on steroids, if you phrase it like that. We're going to carry on about this, and we're going to be back after a very short break. Stay tuned with us.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have free features.
love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. We're talking about protection and the potential threats that our children face in terms of friendship and their social circle. Yeah, so mentioning social circle, that is on a completely different level now with social media, isn't it? As you said, thousands of friends.
Yeah, because like on Facebook, for example, you can it became like a trend now, right? So the more friends you have, the more followers you have, the more popular you are, right? So this is how it works now. And like I said, with this comes danger, because sometimes, not only like back in the day, I remembered one of the lecturers, he was saying, is that like back in the day, we used to feel afraid when our kids got outside. We try to keep them inside as much as we can, because there are a lot of bad kids outside in the street. So we try to keep them inside. It's like now we are afraid to keep them inside. We just want them to go outside.
Because now the threat
is in their hands now, So now you're not only having Muslims, you're not only having people who are the same faith as yours, but now you have Christians, atheists, you have people who don't care about anything. And these people influence you in a way or another, because when they get to talk to you and chat with you, sometimes they hit very sensitive points of your belief. And I had a lot of kids talk to me and send me messages like, what should I reply? What should I say? If they, you know, don't have that strong fundamentals, they will go with the flow, right? Especially if they have no one they can talk to and refer to and ask questions, they will go. And so now he's sitting next to you, but his mind, his ideology is completely different than yours.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, it's like I remember one day my brother came to my father and says, "Dad, what would you do if I came and told you that I'm an atheist?" Right? And that's like, well, at the end of the day, I have to apply the ahkam of Islam of an atheist on you. This is the danger now. It's like our kids could be brainwashed, manipulated in their own seats while we look at them, because you don't know what they're doing. And a lot of people and a lot of parents, when it comes to the social media, for example, this is just a side topic. They don't even know that there are programs that they could monitor their kids with, right? So there are many programs available, and a lot of them are free. That limits your child's device from accessing the internet, or you can limit what time they should access, what time they shouldn't. It limits them from accessing, for example, porn websites. It limits them from accessing certain social media websites. It limits them from accessing certain games. Like, I have one of these apps, and I have full control over my kids' devices. And when it's time for the net to go off, I hit a button, all the devices die. That's it. And I can easily, like, see what they've done, every word they search for, every website they go to, I get to see it. Who their friends are on the social media, I get to see it. So as a parent, you need to make sure that their friends or who they go with are, you know, under your monitoring.
You know, when you say these things, it might sound very controlling, but the thing is, everything has to be taken in the context, dear listeners. We mentioned everything before, like we've got previous episodes which you can follow at pastoday.com. We mentioned that everything that we tell them has to be a very mutual understanding, and they have to feel that they've got this sense of decision making, everything. So these things that Brother Abdullah Musawi has mentioned is a whole set. It's a complete set, you know, and we can't just enforce everything upon them without explaining anything, right? And as he mentioned, that everything has to be conveyed to them properly, in a friendly manner, make them understand, and then all these things come at a later stage. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for today. That's unfortunately we're out of time. Please send in your questions at englishradio@irib.ir. If you've got suggestions or comments, we're going to be reviewing them also. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's rest of borrowed space returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us now hear some hopeful words of divine mercy from the master of eloquence, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Every person who is tempted to go astray does not deserve punishment.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Light.
Last year, a powerful explosion in Beirut turned life around for thousands of Lebanese. Now, a number of people have decided to build a monument in honor of the victims of a terrible accident. 27 individuals and organizations have pooled their efforts to build a giant 25-meter sculpture at a site of last August's explosion. The artwork is called Gesture and is made out of reclaimed metal debris. It looks like it's handing a flower to the city of Beirut. When completed, Gesture will also have a water and light installation. The project was conceived and designed by Nadine Karam, one of Lebanon's most celebrated artists.
Cats are notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment, they are purring for your attention, and the next, they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabby and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabby hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabby's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app and it can help you determine this, how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful. The Tabby is not perfect though and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice. humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalists usually freeze the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The best visited multimedia exhibit in the world known as Van Gogh Life. The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to COVID-19.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the last artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. But of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors. Conservation measures have managed to bring the world's most endangered cat back from the brink of extinction. In 2002, there were less than 100 Iberian lynx left in the wild. The situation prompted officials in Spain and Portugal to save the animal through a captive breeding program. They also tried hard to fight poaching and reintroduce rabbits, the cat's major prey, into the wild. By the end of 2020, there were over 1,100 Iberian lynx living in the two countries, most of them in Spain's southern region of Andalusia.
The main cause of death for wildlife, certainly in the natural environment, is related to human activities, roadkill, poaching, unwanted encounters. So the less interaction they have with humans, the better.
Despite the successful measures, the International Union for Conservation of Nature still lists the animal as endangered. It's estimated that the species will be out of danger only when its population surpasses 3,000. Urban development, hunting, and roadkill are the major reasons of death for wild lynxes these days. Brazilians have come up with a creative idea. to combat population, that is pollution and global warming, repopulating mangroves. The project is aimed at reforesting an area equal to 75 football fields in Guanabara Bay. Organizers hope to make the biggest mangrove garden in a country. Mangroves, which usually grow in tropical regions, are essential to maintaining water quality and clarity. They filter and trap sediments, heavy metals, and other pollutants. Mangrove forests are also able to store 3 to 4 times more carbon than other forests.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A mesmerizing hot air balloon festival has got on the way in the U.S. state of New Jersey. The sky was littered with nearly 100 beautifully colored hot air balloons in different shapes, captivating every viewer. The awe-inspiring event brought together COVID-wary citizens to experience joy and jubilation amid health restrictions. Pleasant weather made the experience all the more enjoyable. The 38th annual New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning is likely the largest outdoor entertainment event in the tri-state area since the pandemic began.
Nostalgia is in the air in Paris as the streets of the city are enlivened, that is, with old vehicles. The French capital has hosted an annual parade called Summer Crossing of Paris. It brought together over 700 vintage cars, motorbikes, buses, and tractors from all over Europe. The route started from a Vincennes castle east of Paris and ended in the southwest of the city. Drivers crossed the iconic monuments such as the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe.
It is extraordinary because the automobile industry heritage and the Parisian architectural heritage, which is obviously absolutely fabulous, echo each other. We are driving through all of Paris's most beautiful squares.
The 14th version of the event drew hundreds of enthusiastic visitors from across France. People were asked to wear masks and keep social distancing because of COVID-19. Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believed that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft.
Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden. The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kushk Garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kush could be the last piece of Tehran's art garden and will be a hotspot for a range of cultural activities, all aiming to revive the ancient Iranian art and culture, which experts believe have become a lost piece in today's hectic life. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Palazzo Farnese is one of the most famous palaces in Rome and is being used as the French embassy. However, some of the rooms there are not open to the public. Now, an artist has come up with a creative way to show the historic building to everyone. An Italian artist known as JR has created a mural art installation on the French diplomatic mission in Rome. The artwork is equivalent to a virtual hole and shows what the building would look like if there were no outside walls. JR has conducted similar dazzling projects on other buildings, including a mural in the city of Florence, providing people with a sneak view of architectural masterpieces.
There is a famous quote, one should always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. A Swiss hiker with Parkinson's disease has put that saying into practice by hiking more than 1,100 kilometers across the Alps. Yves Aubusson, suffering from the disease for more than 16 years, completed the challenge in less than 100 days last year. During his journey, he scaled high-altitude peaks and crossed nearly 100 mountain passes. Aubusson says his first goal was to inspire fellow patients to be active even if they are gravely affected by the incurable disease. But he says his major motivation was to raise awareness of the debilitating neurological illness, which is little known.
What motivated me to do this hike is that I wanted people to know better this disease that is so little known. So I did something that I think was important and that maybe people will relate to. The fact that I did this hike, some people understood it more than I hoped. It went beyond our hopes.
The 52-year-old hiker, previously a professional golfer, is now planning for a new challenge that includes a bike and a tricycle. But he believes that if he could encourage other patients to do sports, he will definitely win his challenge. Burpees are one of the gym exercises that many consider it either a funny workout or simply avoid to do. But that's not the case with a Brazilian man who set a new Guinness World Record with 951 burpees in just 1 hour. Cassiano Rodriguez Luriano, a professional mixed martial arts fighter, completed this feat nearly a month ago that was later verified by Guinness record adjudicators. Luriano says he was driven by a promise made to his niece, Rebecca, who was born with a severe heart disease, and the gym set up a fundraising effort for her. Luriano had originally aimed for 1,000 burpees, but fallen short of that mark due to a leg injury he sustained 2 days before the feat.
I'm tired. It didn't go as smoothly as I thought it would go. I'm in so much pain now on my leg because I got hurt. And but I'm very, very happy with the accomplishment and in being able to help my niece. So that's the most important thing.
Luriano has not met his family since moving to Singapore in May 2019. He says the only way he could help them is using his athleticism. The previous world record was held by a Canadian who performed 879 chest-to-ground burpees within the same time limit in March this year.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the concept of contentment in Islam. Please join with us. Today, Monday, is the 22nd of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we choose Surah Taha, verse 131 to listen to.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى.
And do not extend your eyes toward that by which we have given enjoyment to some categories of them, its being but the splendor of worldly life by which we test them, and the provision of your Lord is better and more enduring.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The worldly bounties are temporary and unstable. There are blossoms of life of this world, blossoms which soon open and fade soon and fall on the ground. They remain stable only for a few days. Allah has bestowed on you kinds of bounties and graces, including faith and Islam, the Quran and divine signs, lawful and pure provisions, and finally, the permanent blessings of the hereafter. These provisions are stable and everlasting.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around.
The concept of contentment in Islam we're talking about. Dear friend, to be contented, one has to remember that he should not cheat others to get some of the worldly gains of wealth and property. He should not run after life. He should have a degree of satisfaction in obtaining what he is aiming at. He should recognize that he is not to live an eternal life here. He should realize that by running after life, he will be a slave to this world. Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "Forsake worldly pleasures. Allah will like you, and forsake what other people have. Mankind will like you." In another hadith,
Prophet of Islam warned all those who are eager to obtain money, property, and wealth. He warned them not to drive themselves crazy for these things. Prophet of Islam said, miserable is the one who is a worshipper of the dinar and the dirham, the one who is after the velvet and the long clothing. If he is given of them, he will be satisfied. However, if he is not given from them, he will not be pleased. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with contentment and the effects of contentment in our daily lives. At the same time, we find that in Islamic moral discussions, we find that contentment is against greed. I mean, a greedy person never feels satisfied. Okay. However, we find that those people who are content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, they live a very an easy life. We may have experienced that those people who may have access to large sums of money and they can avail themselves of almost whatever they might wish or they might whim, they have, on the other hand, other problems. Okay, for example, someone told me that, I mean, he knew, I mean, my friend who told me, indicated that he knew a medical doctor who was really a very wealthy person, but at the same time, he never had any good family life, okay? Because of this, we find that, I mean, a financial greed isn't a good moral trait. And at the same time, we find that those people who are content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, and they suppress the sense of greediness and being greedy, they can live a peaceful life, a very comfortable life. At the same time, we find that contentment in Islamic terminology doesn't mean to be always in a state of, for example, destitute. No, it means that, okay, you are happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. It doesn't mean that nobody should do anything, all people, for example, should be dormant or should be sleeping. No, it doesn't mean this. It means that, okay, one is expected to do one's best for having a good and comfortable life. But greediness isn't a good moral trait.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
In this part, we learn how to achieve qana'ah, or self-contentment, asking Allah to bestow the self-contentment in multiple times. This is one way. The Messenger of Allah was the most content man, who was pleased with what he had and most ascetic person. He was also the strongest man in faith and belief. However, he still asked Allah, glorified and exalted, to bestow upon him self-contentment. He said, O Allah, provide me with self-contentment regarding the sustenance you give me. Bless me in that giving and replace whatever misses from me with the better. Such was the extent of his contentment that he didn't ask Allah but what suffice him to live. And he said, O Allah, make the sustenance of Muhammad's family only their main needs.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see. When you feel you've lost it all, when you don't know who's your friend or foe, you wonder why you're so alone. Worry ends when faith begins. When faith begins. Don't be sad by what you see. It's true, life has its miseries, but one thing's always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
The effects of contentment, endless treasures. The Apostle of Islam said, contentment is an immortal treasure. He said, contentment is a property that never ends. Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam says, there is no treasure more sufficient than contentment. Dear friend, we said that one of the effects of contentment is endless treasures. The other one is contentment that brings needlessness. The Messenger of Allah said, needlessness is not in abundance of wealth. Needlessness is only in having morale of needlessness. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, whoever is content with whatever God has bestowed upon him is amongst the most needless people. He also said, the best needless is contentment. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, said, contentment is the best needlessness.
This practical step, my dear brothers and sisters, is to remind yourself that if I have more wealth, what makes me think that I will be a happier person? In fact, if you study the life of billionaires, I want you to go tonight if you have time, research the life of billionaires. Just punch in these keywords, happiness, billionaires, and you'll see the articles on Forbes magazine. Forbes, which usually talks about the rich, right? And it gives you their statistics. It tells you that billionaires are much more miserable than you think they are. There are certain struggles that millionaires and billionaires struggle with on average. Number one, they have this sense of jealousy and competition. Once you have $1 billion, you're in the league of the billionaires. Now, you try to compare yourself to other billionaires. Yeah, but that billionaire has 10 billion. You feel this feeling of jealousy in your heart. And you're not satisfied with what you have. That's number one. Number two, you always worry about losing that wealth. One of the common causes of stress amongst millionaires and billionaires is that they're always worrying that they will lose that money. They're constantly worried about that. How do I save it? How do I not lose it? Look how some of them live, my dear brothers and sisters. Even though they have millions and billions, but that constant concern takes away the real joy and happiness from their lives. So that cannot guarantee happiness for them. In fact, it's contentment with whatever you have to accept the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will guarantee the happiness for you.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Wa tadarbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
That was all for today's special. So we continue this topic, inshallah,
on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.